Well, friends, Christmas is over, right? We can close the book on another Christmas. It's December the 29th, 4 days after Christmas. All the packages have been opened. Gift returns have started. Most of the radio stations are back to their regular programming. The Christmas decorations are being sold half price, and soon it'll be 75% off. And next week, all the decorations will be coming down in the stores, making way for Valentine's Day. It's already hitting the shelves. Most of all, the UPS workers are back in their lazy boys with their feet kicked up after a really busy season. Now our lives can slow down a bit. The parties are ending. The shopping's all done. And now some can start paying off for all that they put on their plastic, on their credit cards. It's all done, right? That's when somebody's supposed to say, "No way, Jose."
No way, Jose.
There we go. "No way, Jose." As believers in Jesus Christ, friends, we know that the birth of Jesus Christ is new every day in our hearts. Every day. We don't have a day just to be the gift or a season to be the gift. We don't have a day or a season to celebrate Christmas because we celebrate it every day with our living, with how we live. And that leaves us with an important question this morning. Then why Christmas? Why do we celebrate it this one day? If Jesus is every day, and if we don't really know truly the month or the day that he was born, because we don't really know that, then why does most of the world come to a screeching halt every December the 25th to celebrate, to commemorate a day? What's the purpose of remembering the events of this birth and commemorating it? That's what we're going to be talking about. That's what we're going to look at this morning. See, the fact is that the birth of Jesus Christ is the most significant event, that with his resurrection, in the history of humankind. It split history from B.C. to A.D. so that every time that you look at your calendar or every time you schedule an event in your smartphone, you're commemorating the birth and the death of Jesus Christ. Our calendar, our time is set by those events. We're going to spend a little time today talking about the purpose of Christmas, of the event that we celebrate on December the 25th. And as we plan to do that today, will you join me in prayer? Ask God just to speak to our hearts. We want to hear from God today. So let's ask him to connect with us. God, that's what we want from you. From the inside out, we want to connect with you. I don't ever want it to be about anything that I prepared or that I say. I want it to be about you speaking to us, God. So I just ask that you would do that today, whether that's through me or in spite of me. God, speak to our hearts. Help us to be the gift always. And we just ask you to guide us through that in Jesus' name. We pray this morning. Amen. Pastor Rick Warren, a couple years ago, wrote a book called The Purpose of Christmas. And I've not actually read that book, but it's a very big part of the question we're talking about today. And I did read a sermon that he had online at one point kind of based on that book. And he based that on Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 to help us answer that question. We're going to use that same text from Luke to be our guide, to be our framework this morning as we search the answers to that question. When Jesus was born, there was a group of shepherds out in the fields tending their flocks, and an angel came to them and gave three basic announcements. And in those three announcements in Luke, we can learn why Christmas is important, what the purpose of it is. First is this: Christmas is a celebration. Why Christmas? Because it's a celebration. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 say this: "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people.'" Friends, the angel's saying that he's bringing good news of great joy for everyone. Friends, that's a celebration. It's a celebration. It's a birthday party. We probably should have had birthday cake this morning. Rolled carts down the aisle with little cupcakes with candles in them for us all to take one. But my guess is we probably all had enough sweets this season that wouldn't be a very good idea for us to stimulate our physical growth. So we won't do that. But will you do something kind of cheesy with me this morning, kind of corny? Will you join me singing Happy Birthday to Jesus? I know it's kind of cheesy, but let's do it anyway. Let's pretend like we're in preschool or the downstairs, and let's sing it. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. And we don't have to throw in the part in many more because we already know that he's going to go on forever. I know it's kind of cheesy, but thanks for doing it with me. See, at Christmas time, we have all these parties more than any other time of the year. Yet here's what's the ironic thing about that. Often the guest of honor is totally left out of those parties. The birthday parties for Jesus. The whole season, the reason we say Merry Christmas is because it's Christ's Mass. It's about Christ. Did you know that God likes a party? He likes to celebrate. He likes a good party. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that when any person comes to Jesus and invites him into his or her heart, that they throw a great big old party, a celebration in heaven. There's a big party going on. Why do we celebrate? We celebrate for different reasons. First, because Jesus loves us, because he loves us. That's the first reason we're having this party. We're celebrating for him. Jesus was born because God loves us, and that's worth celebrating. John 3:16 is probably one of the best known Bible verses in Scripture and at football games when they hold up the big signs, John 3:16. And it says this, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus' birth was a message of God's love to you and to me. And when we let that sink in, we realize what an awesome thing that is. God loves us so much that he went to drastic measures so that we would be assured of spending eternity with him in heaven. Our sin has separated us from the fullness of God's love and would eternally do that, but God wouldn't have it that way. He sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from our own sin. So we celebrate because he loves us. And second, Jesus Christ's birthday is a celebration because it announces God with us. With us. You may not feel it, but you know what? It's got nothing to do with feelings. It's got nothing to do with feelings. He's with you all the time, whether you know it, whether you feel like he is or not. The Bible says Jesus' name was to be called Emmanuel. That's one of the names of Jesus. And Emmanuel means God is with us. Before Jesus left earth, he assured those following him, and he assures us even then that he'll be God with us. He says in Matthew 28, verse 20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He is with us always, friends. You see, in the Old Testament, it was different. In Old Testament times, God would send his Spirit and take his Spirit on this world as it was needed. God's Spirit came in the form of smoke by day and fire by night for the Israelites as he led them out of the wilderness. God's Spirit came on Samson in the form of power and strength. God's Spirit came on the burning bush before Moses. It came and went as God determined it and as it was needed. But now, in Jesus, God is Emmanuel, God with us. God's Spirit continually remains on this earth in the heart of every disciple, every believer of Jesus Christ. His Spirit is always with us, and that is something we need to celebrate. God's not going to leave you. You may sometimes question that. You may sometimes not feel it, but like I said, again, it's not about feelings. This is about fact. He's with you now, he'll be with you in 2014, and he's going to be with you through it all. Now, if you've not invited Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've not made that connection, him into your heart, you've not connected to his presence on this earth. You've not connected to his presence in your life, and eventually, if not already, that's going to lead you to real loneliness. As a matter of fact, he's gone to every measure. He doesn't want you to have that loneliness, and he's gone to every measure so that you don't have to be alone. By believing Jesus is Emmanuel, God is, he's God with us, You're going to simply know that by asking for the forgiveness of your sins, that he's with you, by inviting him into your heart. So God loves us. God is with us. And the third birth is a celebration. His birth is a celebration because God is for us. For us. Jesus says in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." You know, some people don't come to church because they're fearful of him. They are. And what are they afraid of? Why are they fearful? Because they see God as this condemning God. So I have some competition today. It's great competition, but I have some competition. Some people don't come because they see God as this condemning God. They look at their own lives and their mistakes and how they've blown it in life, and they say, there's no way I'm going to approach God. Mark, if you knew what happened in my life, if you knew what I've really done, you would say, you can't approach God either. That's how some of us feel. Have you heard people say that if I go into church, the walls are going to come down? The roof's going to drop on top of me. There's no way I can go into a church. What are they saying? What they're saying is that if I go to church, if I come into his presence, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to be laden with so much guilt and remorse, and I just don't want to do that, so I'm just going to stay far away. I'm not going to go into that place. But Jesus' message to us is not that I'm against you, it's that I'm for you. I didn't come to condemn, I came to save. So the first purpose, the first why Christmas is to celebrate his birth. We got to celebrate it. Here's the second purpose of Christmas. It's salvation. That's the second thing that the angels said to the shepherds in Luke 2:11. He says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you." He makes it very personal. It's a personal thing, a Savior for you. He is Christ the Lord. Now hear me. God never wastes his energy. He doesn't do things just to do them. He doesn't do things that aren't needed. So if you didn't need a Savior, and if I didn't need a Savior, then he wouldn't have gone to all the trouble to send one. And he certainly wouldn't have sent his only Son to die on a cross for us. He also wouldn't have had his angels make such a big proclamation if this wasn't true. Does that make sense? Most assuredly, you and I need a Savior. But what does it mean that we need salvation? Well, there's a three-dimensional answer to that question. First, you're saved from your sin. From your sin, from your guilt, from your past, from yourself, from your worry and your bitterness and your loneliness and all those different things. We're saved from something. That's what Jesus' name means. Jesus means to save people from their sin. Joseph was told in a dream in Matthew 1:21 these words, "Give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin." That's what Jesus' name means. But what is sin? Most people, you ask them that question, they would describe actions. They would say sin's being an axe murderer, or it's lying, or cheating, or stealing, or adultery. Those are sins. Listen, those are symptoms of sin. But sin's not an action. Sin's actually an attitude. What's in the middle? What's the middle letter in the word sin? S-I-N. What's the middle letter in the word pride? P-R-I-D-E. You see, I'm in the middle of sin. I'm in the middle of pride. I want my way. I want to be the boss. I want control of my own life. God, I don't need you. I can do this on my own. That's sin. That's going my way instead of God's way. That's the attitude. That's what sin is. All those other things that we do are symptoms of that greater attitude within us. And here's the thing. The Bible makes it clear that we're all born with that attitude. Listen, I got four kids. I know that's true. How long does it take them to say mine, 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 or me? How long does it take them to grab something out or slap somebody? Friends, we're born with that in us. We've all got it. And that attitude is what separates us from God. God sent Jesus to solve this problem, to end that separation. So through Jesus, you're saved from something, you're saved from sin, and then second, you're saved for something. There's a purpose. There's a plan for your life. God says, I want to save you for a purpose. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Listen, friends, we can live life with the perspective of simply surviving. That's what most of the world does. How do I get through today? How do I get through tomorrow? How do I get through next week? How do I get through next month? How do I make it to my next paycheck? How do I survive this world? That's what most of the world does. We can live life for success. But at what point have you actually achieved it? When you get to one level of success, what's the next level? When do you finally have it? Or, listen to this, instead, we can live life for significance. Significance. You were made. I was made to live for significance. And simply put, significance, real significance, only comes from knowing God and knowing his purpose for your life and living into that purpose. Hear me, your life has purpose. Your life has great purpose. You're significant. You matter. You matter to God. You matter enough that he sent his only son on Christmas to come and to die for you. You matter. We're saved from our sin. We're saved for something. And then third, you're saved by grace through faith, which means you don't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You don't deserve it. And neither do I. It's just what we get if we believe and we accept it. Friends, going to heaven, your salvation isn't about goodness. You can't be good enough. If you could be, what's the level of goodness? How good is good enough? I sat at both of my grandparents on my dad's side at their funeral. I listened to a clergyman say they were going to heaven because of what good people they were. Friends, it's not about how good you are because you can't be good enough. Because you'll never be perfect and I'll never be perfect, but there is one who was perfect and who is perfect, and it's Jesus. And that's the way. What reason he's the only ticket into heaven. There's no other passes that are going to get you past go. There's no other get out of jail free cards. It's simply by his grace. And what is grace? Simple definition. The definition is this. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. We don't deserve it. We haven't done anything to earn it. We can't ever be good enough. But God gives it to you anyway. When you get what you don't deserve, I've heard this acronym for grace using G-R-A-C-E, which is God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, often we will say to people, you know, salvation's free. You just have to accept it. You know what? It's not free. It cost a whole lot. It cost God the price of his own son. It's free to you and me. It cost God everything. Everything. The Bible says it clearly in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is not by what we do. When I came to Christ, I wrote those verses on a little piece of paper, and I tucked them in my wallet, and I kept them there for years until they dissolved to nothing. Because I thought it was by what I did. I thought it was my works that I had to earn it, and it never was. It's not by your works, it's by his grace. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby, did he? He became a man, and he lived perfect, and then he died for you and me, taking our place. He grew up and became a man who died as our Savior. We got to celebrate him because he's our Savior. The third purpose of Christmas, the third why Christmas, is because Christmas is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Luke chapter 2, 13 to 14 says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. You've heard the phrase, let there be peace on earth. Friends, peace on earth is reconciliation. That's what it is. And what's reconciliation? It's when broken relationships are restored. Jesus came to restore relationships. First, our relationship with God, which is our most important relationship, but he also came to bring peace, to restore relationships that we have with others. When a husband and wife comes back together, that's reconciliation. When a parent and a child reconcile, that brings peace. When siblings and friends come back together, it's reconciliation that leads to peace. Where do you need reconciliation in your life this Christmas? Because Christmas is all about that. It's all about reconciling you. You've heard the old Christmas line, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Have you let the meaning of that sink in? What that really means, it means reconciliation. Christmas brings peace, and we need to claim that in our relationships. You know, there's been talks about peace in the world for centuries. How many peace talks have presidents participated in? How many peace marches have there been? How many nations and people have yearned for peace, yet it's been stolen by war, by mistrust, by factions, by division, by slander, by cruelty, you name it. You see, here's the thing. There will never be peace in the world until there's peace in nations. And there will never be peace in nations until there's peace in communities. And there'll never be peace in communities until there's peace in families. And there'll never be peace in families until there's peace in individuals. And there'll never be peace in individuals until the Prince of Peace reigns in our hearts. And that Prince of Peace is Jesus. That's the only way there'll ever be peace in this world, friends. It's not just, let's do what we got to do to get along. That's not peace, that's covering things up. We have to come to grips with Jesus. The Bible talks about three kinds of peace that God offers to us at Christmas time. The first is, we need peace with God. That's the first thing. The fact is that if you're trying to live your life without God, then you know what? You're at war. You're trying to run your own life, your own way, and you're not paying attention to God's ways, then you're at war with God, and you need a peace treaty. You need reconciliation because your relationship with God is broken. And Jesus Christ came to be your bridge over your troubled waters, leading you to God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified, justified means made right. Since we've been made right, reconciled through faith, that's believing, that's accepting it, we do those things, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That might be the peace that some of you are looking for this morning, that you're looking for this Christmas. The angel told the shepherds that this peace arrived in Jesus. You can have it by accepting Jesus into your heart and into your life. Once you make peace with God, there's something wonderful that begins to happen. Second, you get to have the peace of God in your heart. This is the peace that you need for your daily lives and that I need. When the stress comes, and when the heartache happens, when you're angry and when you're confused, when things are difficult, when they're troubled, when they don't make sense, the peace of God is the thing that pulls you through. When you have the peace of God in your heart, when you make peace with God, he gives you the peace of God that's going to get you through all of those times. There's no way to explain that without experiencing it, which a lot of us here can attest to. And third, once you make peace with God and you get the peace of God in your heart, now you can start to have peace with other people. And that's back to this whole reconciliation thing. God called us to be peacemakers, to be reconcilers in this world. If you're in Christ and Christ in you, then the peace should be the thing that charts the course of all of your relationships. If you have factions, discord, divisions with others in your life, understand that the peace of God in you, with that, you can and you're expected to do all that you can do on your part to make peace with the other relationships that you have in life. That's why Christmas. That's one of the purposes of Christmas. And Christmas time is often a time of the year where people are much more open to reconciliation than any other time of the rest of the year. Friends, why Christmas? Why do we celebrate this day? Because we need to celebrate Jesus. Happy birthday, Son of the Living God. Why Christmas? Because we need salvation. He's not come to condemn you. He's come to save you. Why Christmas? Because we need peace. We need peace with God. We need the peace of God, and we need peace with others. We need to be reconciled to God. We need our relationships repaired. We need them reconciled. Even though today is December the 29th, Christmas is far from over. It's far from over. We now can be the gift beyond Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. God, Christmas is never meant to be just an event or just a day. The reason Jesus came was to turn the world upside down and to change us. And God, I know that in a room with this many people in it, even people who may be here every week, that there are likely some here are still asking that question of, is this Jesus thing real? Or maybe they're here and they're saying, where's that peace? I don't have it yet. Or maybe there's some here that say, you know, I have never embraced that for myself. The peace you're talking about in this world, I'm not connected to it yet because I've never asked Jesus personally to forgive my sins and to come into my life. And friends, if you find yourself in any of those places today, I just invite you to surrender to Him today. To make this the Christmas that changes everything for you. To simply come before Him and say, Jesus, here I am. I recognize that I'm the problem. I am the I in my sin. I've gone my way. I've taken my course. I've turned my back on You. I've not allowed You to lead me. And today I'm surrendering the I. And I'm asking You, Jesus, to forgive my sins forever. Come into my heart today. Change my course. Make me a peacemaker in this world, a reconciler. Let me have the peace of God, to have peace with God, to make peace with others. Change my life forever from this day forward. I will follow You. And if anybody has said that prayer this morning, I'm telling you right now, there's a massive party in heaven right now. The angels are celebrating. God's loving it. The birthday cake's out there for you because you've just had a new birth. And God, we praise You for that celebration. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Friends, in 2 weeks, we're going to start a new message series called King Size Christianity. You see, once you have the King in you, that ought to begin to change you. That changes your character and the way that you live. We go counter to what's happening in our culture by living like not just a king, but the King. So be back for that as we start talking about king-sized Christianity in 2 weeks. Next week, Ernie Barry's going to be sharing. He's going to be talking about ironclad apologetics. Some people say, what? Apologetics aren't apologizing for our faith. He's going to talk about how we can prove our faith, how we can talk to others about it in an ironclad way that defends what we believe. And if you don't know Ernie is such a well-studied young man. He has several degrees and certificates, and he reads I don't know how many books a week. The man just soaks in knowledge. He's been coming to my library now in my office and takes about 3 books a week and comes back for more. It's just amazing. And he also has a difficulty of being blind, but God has just used that man to soak in all this information, and he's just burning to turn that information out, to share it with others. So I know you're going to be blessed next week with what Ernie brings to you, and you're going to be here to support him and support the gift God's given him to gain knowledge and to share it with others. So come back next week and enjoy that. I'll see you in 2 weeks as we talk about king-size Christianity. Happy New Year to everybody.